if we don't do something about it, if we don't invite that young people, if we don't invite those teenagers, if we don't do something with the ministry, you can't complain about these youth today. You can't complain about the way they act and what they do. You've got to do something about it. Many people out there want to hand that off to the church and let the church do something about it, but it's not necessarily true. You've got young people like Andrew that work with the youth. At the same time, we're a church. We've got to try to minister to them and lead them and guide them as a church tomorrow. Who knows? What is the Scripture says? The sins of the father to the second and third and fourth generations. You can change that right now. You can change that. What I want to speak to you here this morning is going to be in Matthew chapter 27. I'll give you a second to find that before we stand. But Matthew chapter 27 is where I want to start this morning. I want to thank John and his wife for being here today. And John, I work with John and invite him and several others from church. And this is Palm Sunday, and this weekend coming up will be Easter. So like Brother Adam said, invite some people. There's people many times that would like to come to church. I know John's from another area, and they moved down to this area, you know, and many times people are looking for a church, but unless we invite, how do they know? How do they know? So God will use us many ways. But if you take your copy of God's Word today and stand with me if you can. If you can't, Mrs. Nella, that's fine, sitting there. I appreciate her being right down front where we all should be. But we're going to look at Matthew chapters 27, and I want to share with you one verse in Matthew 27. And the verse is verse 64. If you look with me there in chapter 27, verse 64. It says, "Command therefore the sepulcher to be made sure until the third day," meaning the tomb where Jesus had been laid, "lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And they say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. Why? So the last error shall be worse than the first." Let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks for this day and the people that are here. I give you thanks, Lord, for we have the freedom in this country to come and speak and read the Word and share in prayers and share in young Heather's prayer and just sharing the petitions that have been made. Lord, the day is going to come when we may not have that freedom in this country, Lord, just to come with the doors open and read the Word, Father, and pray. And I just give you thanks for that freedom. Give you thanks for our soldiers that protect that freedom that Brother Andrew spoke about. We just pray that you meet their many needs there on the battlefield and comfort their families back home. Father, we just ask that you be with our pastor, lead and guide him in safe travels, mercies, and journeys today. Be with us as a church today. Lord, as we go forward, may you open our hearts to the Word with that Holy Spirit that leads and guides us each and every day. And may we not lose sight of everything that we do here today. Be all for your glory, honor, and praise. Father, you know me. I'm just an ignorant man, as Peter said, and I'm unlearned, but your Word's powerful and strong. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us every day. I just pray most now, as we go through this message, if there be that one here today that doesn't know what Easter's all about, that Resurrection Sunday, that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was paid for our sin, for our wrong that we do in our life, our unrighteousness in your eyes, I pray they be that day. If they come forward, come down front, kneel here at the altar, we'll pray together and we'll get it right. We'll get it settled. And we know that if we get it settled, we have that eternity in heaven, not that eternity we spend in hell. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Matthew 27, 64 is a powerful verse. It's a powerful verse. Matthew 27, verse 64. The second error is going to be worse than the first. I don't know about you, and John knows me from work. I don't like to make mistakes. And John's kind of that way, too. But I'm definitely not going to make something twice. But if we look at verse 64... this verse here is real powerful in the sense that I guess the title of my message is going to be The Error and the Mistake of Fighting with God. And that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Verse 64 said, be careful now. The people are going to understand that if he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. The last mistake they made, the last error, was what? They crucified him. They put him on the cross. They crucified the Savior. They crucified the sacrifice and they put him on the cross. They saw him die. They pierced his side. They took him down. They put him in a tomb. And now all of a sudden they're worried. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we made a mistake. And if it is a mistake, it's going to be worse the first time. You mean it's worse than killing a man? Sure it is, brother. Why? Because he's risen. The mistake was, if he's risen, he's not in the tomb. He's not in there, bone and flesh. He's risen. He's in the right hand of God right now on the throne. And on top of that, he's not Muhammad. He's not Buddha. He's not any of them. If you go to one of their tombs, they're going to be laying there. There's going to be bones. There's going to be leftovers. There's everything there. Our Savior's not there. Our Savior's not there. And they knew. Now, these were learned men. And I've got some learned men in here today that know their Bible, know their Scripture. These were learned men. This verse 64 would deal with many Pharisees and Sadducees, Jew of the Jew, that knew the Torah, knew the Old Testament. And they knew that if He was the Messiah, we just crucified Him. And they knew that if He come out of that tomb, we're in trouble. Because He is what He is, and He said what He said, and He was what He was. So the second mistake is going to be worse than the first. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't realize in your heart there's been a time in your life when in God's eyes, we're all sinners, we're all born sinners, there's nothing we can do about it, and we have to take that sacrifice, we have to accept what He did for us, and ask Christ into our heart to forgive us of those sins, come into our heart and cleanse us, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. You're going to bust it wide open. It's true. It's in the Scripture. So if that's true, the second mistake's true, then Jesus must be true. So friend, I'm here to tell you, if you don't accept Jesus Christ your Savior, if you haven't ever come to that realization that no matter what you do and how good you are and how best you live your life, until you get on your knees and confess before God to forgive me of my sin and cleanse my heart, Lord, of my sinful life I've lived, the unrighteousness in your life. If you've never done that in your life, took a time in your life, your second mistake's going to be worse than the first. It's going to happen. Why? Because you're going to bust hell wide open. Look here in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54. In verses 50 through 54, what we have is we've got the Scriptures talking about Jesus has come into the city of Jerusalem. He's been taken to the cross. They've took Him to the Sanhedrin there. They've convicted Him. They've put Him on the cross. And if we look at verses 50 through 54, 50 says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He's on the cross. He's yielded up the ghost. And 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That shouldn't be a shocker. And came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly and saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Friend, I'm here to tell you, the mistakes you make in life are simple. But most of the time your error and mistakes you make are fighting with God. And if there's ever a title of message today, the title of message, the error of fighting with God. Don't make that mistake. First thing we've got to do is realize we're fighting with God. First thing you've got to do is just realize I'm a sinner. I'm an unsaved sinner. I've never accepted Jesus Christ. First thing you've got to do is come to realization. Friend, if you want to quit fighting with God and making errors and mistakes, realize the situation. Realize that you're making a mistake and you're fighting with Him. The Pharisees right here, they were pushing it. They were pushing it. They were pushing it. They knew the Scriptures. And the centurion there, he was the guard. He was at the cross. He was the one that might have drove the nail in the cross. And what did he say? Truly, this was the Son of God. He got it. He realized it. And at this point, the Pharisees were probably thinking the same thing. Truly, this might have been the Son of God. Maybe this was the Son of God. Do you think they realized it? Probably not. They were probably still thinking, well, He was just a prophet. He was just Jesus. You know, if we look back on these things, we all make mistakes. I make them a lot every week. John can attest to this. We all make them at work sometimes. There's not a one of you in here that doesn't. You're going to make them in family raising, child raising, work, fellowship with members, church attendance. You're going to make mistakes all week long. You'll make a mistake before you end out today. But a lot of times those mistakes are consequences of fighting with God. You're fighting with God, and you don't realize it. We don't realize it many times. If we were to look at some of the godly men that lived a godly life, think of Adam. We shared this in Sunday school. What did Adam do? He made a mistake. He took of the fruit. What was the consequence? He lost the Garden of Eden. He lost it. He got kicked out. God had set him up in perfect fellowship and peace. Moses. If you look at Moses, what did he do when he smoked the rock? He got mad. The people were getting on to him. They were bugging him. They were pressuring him. They were pushing him. He got mad. God had told him, you hit the rock when I tell you to. I bring the man when I tell you to. And what did he do? I'm tired of this. And he hit the rock. He lost his cool. What did it cost Moses? It cost him the promised land. Consequences. Consequences. If we look at this many times, man, it's simple. It happens to us all the time. David and Bathsheba. David. Man after God's own heart. Man wrote many of the Psalms and the Scriptures that we read in our King James Bible. But David had a lustful affair with Bathsheba. What did it cost him? It cost him a child that died, and it cost him a temple to God that he wanted to build. It cost him. He made a mistake. He made a mistake. But if we were to look at these men, they didn't do it twice. They didn't do it twice, you know. The thing you got to realize is that second mistake can be worse than the first. And that's what the Pharisees were thinking on. They realized that maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we made a mistake. If we were to look at our scriptures right now, they were fighting God all the way. They were fighting Him. They were fighting Him at the cross. They was fighting Him in the Sanhedrin. They fought Jesus as He went to the people through the cities. They fought Him as He healed the people. They fought Him all the way through His ministry. They fought Him. They fought Him. They fought Him. They fought Him. And finally they decided, let's just hang Him. Let's put Him on the cross. Friend, you may be sitting here doing the same thing today. You may be fighting God right now in your salvation. You may be fighting God right now because you never in your life, you might have come down. I was a kid one time, and I was 16 years old and had a lot of problems. I went to a youth rally in an old Methodist church with a girlfriend I had. I was boohooing and went down front. My dad was on drugs. My dad was on alcohol. Got down, prayed, and I couldn't tell you today what I prayed. Yeah, I went down front, but I didn't get saved. I was 29 years old, almost 30 years old when I got saved because I had a lot more problems in my life and a lot more problems in my marriage. And I knew right then that in God's eyes I was unrighteous and I had to have my heart cleansed and someone had to pay that price. It was Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, and I come forward and I got saved. Friend, I realized it. I realized there was nothing I can do about it. Nothing. John and I, we work for a company that has a lot of money and does a lot of things. There's not a thing they can do financially or physically to make sure that I go to heaven someday. Friend, you can't do the same thing. You've got to come to a point in your life to realize that if you've never done that and convicted your heart, you're not saved. You're not saved. Christian, if you're in here, saved person, maybe you are saved. And I'm preaching to myself many times. Maybe you are saved, but maybe you haven't come to the realization that there's just some things in my marriage aren't right. My job's not right. My church fellowship's not right. I'm not quite happy in life. Well, maybe you're fighting with God. Maybe you just haven't come to that realization. The Pharisees were men of God. They were men of God that knew the Scriptures. They were out there. So are you. But they were fighting with God all the way. They was pushing Him. Never could they get it in their head. It was all them. They never come to that realization. You know, if we were to look at Romans 3:23 tells us what? We're all sinners. Romans 3:23 plainly tells us that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter, you or I. Doesn't matter whether I'm saved, doesn't matter whether I'm lost. We're all sinners. There's only two kinds of us. There's saved sinners and lost sinners, but we're still sinners. There's only two kinds of us. You've got to come to that realization. If you haven't come to that realization, friend, trust me, you didn't get it right. You didn't nail it down. And if you're in here and you've never made that decision, I hope and pray right now that you come to that realization that you are a sinner. You know, a saved person, when we realize sometimes we make those mistakes and we're fighting with God, the lost person comes to a realization that there may be a heaven and a hell. And I'm here to tell you today, there's a heaven and a hell. Now, you can watch the History Channel, you can watch Discovery Channel, you can watch all the junk you want, but I'm going to tell you what the King James Bible says. It's real. I can show you a lot of places in there that's real. You can take it by faith, and you can try to be like the Catholic Church and put a lot of sacraments to it and rituals to it, but if there's anything you put to it by man, you are putting to it by man. It's not by faith. It's not by God. There's nothing we can do to bring about that salvation. It's got to be a realization that you are separate. In God's eyes, you're a sinner. You're unrighteous, and there's nothing you can do. Jesus paid that price, and you've got to accept that. Come to that realization. If you've never done that, come down front after service. Let's get it right. If you have done that, realize you may be still fighting God just like those learned men of the Pharisees. You may still be fighting Him. You may be fighting Him all the way. Number one, if you want to quit fighting God and realize your errors, realize that you're fighting Him. Realize it. Saved or lost, realize it, that you're fighting Him and that you're fighting Him all the way. You know, the consequences sometimes, if we were to look at a lot of the consequences to the Scriptures, many times in our Scriptures, there's consequences. There's consequences God tells us to doing things. There's consequences to our actions many times. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if we look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a minute. Chapter 20, 11 through 15. Because I encourage you to follow me up and don't try to take it for face value. There's a lot of that goes on today. But Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11 through 15, is going to tell you the consequences. This is going to tell you the consequences, not realizing that you're making errors and you're fighting with God. Trust me. And it's not a pretty picture. 11 through 15 in chapter 20 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened." Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. "The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, friend. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's some consequences. There's some consequences to not getting it right and realizing that you're not saved, that you're not going to heaven. There's consequences. There's consequences to our actions. You know, this old society we live in today, I think that's one of the biggest things, is there's no consequences today. People do stuff today that just amazes me. When I was talking to the guy yesterday, I think when I picked up the van, about the bus out there and the van, they're unlocked, you know, and different things. And he mentioned that to me. And I thought, you know, when I was young, that never crossed my mind. Whether the church van was unlocked or not, I'm not going to bother the church van. Whether the church doors were unlocked, I'm not going to bother the church. There's consequences to that. I kind of feared some punishment on top of that. Today, there's no consequences. People do things they do today. We wonder why they do it, because there's no consequences today. Nothing's taught. Big deal. So you get caught. So you get busted. So you go to prison. You get three meals a day. You get the internet and you can write a book. What's the consequence to that? Not too much. It's not taught today. There is no consequences to things today. But friend, I'm here to tell you, realize this, what I just read to you. There will be a day coming. There will be a day coming. I just read it to you. I read it to you about the judgments. I read it to you about the consequences to come, the book of life. If your name's not in that book of life, you're not going to go to heaven. We'll all be judged. Don't get me wrong. If you're in here and you've accepted Jesus Christ your Savior and realize you're a sinner and unrighteous, you'll still be judged. I'm going to be judged on a lot of the sinful things I've done in my life before I got saved. And I'll still be judged now on the things I make mistakes at today while I live. But praise God, I'm going to heaven, huh? How about you? Anybody going to heaven? I don't know. It's awful quiet in here. That ought to be something to give you glory and make you shout and realize that at a time in your life, you made that decision. But I want to also say at the same respect, there's a time in your life you haven't realized that. You need to get it right today. Because those consequences I read in there is going to apply to you just the same as they apply to me. But you know, the biggest thing that we look sometimes when we look at those mistakes and errors of fighting with God, many times we want to fight Him all the way. We want to continue to fight Him. But when you finally realize that maybe I am. Maybe I'm fighting God. You know, I fought God quite a while there on my ministry as far as preaching and evangelizing. I've done bus ministries, bus routes, bus works, Sunday school directors, children's Methodists, children's church, VBSs, street ministries, in the missions, in Joliet, in Chicago. Done a lot of that. But I finally decided one time in my life, God, if you want me to speak and be in evangelism, I'll speak. I'll speak. But it just meant giving it all over, totally obedience, giving it to God, trusting where He leads you, trusting where He guides you. Friend, I had to finally come to that realization and do that and make that response. But you see, when you want to finally quit fighting with God, you realize, number one, you realize. Okay? Number two is going to be that you respond. And number three is going to be that you receive. So if you want to write down three things today as we go through this, and you want to... On number two, on to that's going to be critical. And number three, you're going to receive the outcome. You can't change that. Okay? So realize, respond, and receive. Three things. If we were to look at Matthew 27, verse 62 through 66, this is where we were parked at earlier there when we saw. And we saw about how they responded. Verse 62 said, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation." This is after our Lord and Savior has been crucified on the cross. He's been placed in the tomb. He's come into town today. This is Palm Sunday. All this next week, he will go through his ministry, through the Garden of Gethsemane, through the Sanhedrin, through the crucifixion. And next weekend, he will be placed on the cross, die for your sins, placed in a tomb, and resurrected. At this point, these learned men of God, our Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jew of the Jew that knew all about the Scriptures there, they were learned men. In verse 62, it says, "Now the next day, the following day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate." They came to Pilate. "And they saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." They remembered that. They remembered that. They remembered that he was going to rise. And verse 64 says, "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first." And Pilate said unto him, "You have your watch, go your way and make it sure as you can." They had crucified him. They'd come to know the realization. But the problem was they didn't quite respond proper. If you're in here today, and I'm talking to you saved Christians now, if you're in here today and you've made some errors and mistakes and you've been fighting God, this is not the way to respond. This is not the way to respond, brother, to go get a guard and a watch and post something on it and kind of cover it up. You need to come down here to the altar today and get it right, get it straight, and get it settled. And friend, if you're a lost person in here and you don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell, if you do think heaven and hell's real and you do know that the Bible's real and Jesus died on the cross, you might want to come down today and get it right. You might want to respond proper. If you don't, you're just covering it up. You're no different than the guards right here. You're no different than the Pharisees saying, "Well, I don't really think I'm lost, Brother Mike. I'm a good person. I do things and this and that. I don't really need that. You know, I can come to church." You're covering it up. You might as well be one of the guards and the Pharisees asking for an extra watch. You're covering it up. Your response is critical to what you do. If you look at this here, it made it worse. It made it worse is what it did. I think they actually had come to realization at this point. Now you got to picture this, man. These were men of God that had studied for years in the Sanhedrin. Pharisees, Sadducees, worked the laws of the Pentateuch of Moses. These were learned, learned, learned men. And when I shared with you a while ago what happened, the veil was torn, the crucifixion was made, the dead came out of the graves. The guy that was even at the cross said, "This is truly the Son of God." I think at this point, in their heart of hearts, they just realized, "We blew it. This was the Son of God. We did crucify the Messiah. We put Him on the cross. We did what Scripture said." Well, then I got to ask myself, why didn't they ask for forgiveness? Why didn't they come at that time? Why? They were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. Because of what the people might think. Verse 64 told you, well, what they might think. Friend, I'm here to tell you, don't worry about what Salem thinks. Don't worry about what your family thinks. And don't worry about what your co-workers think. Don't worry about it. You're going to be one of them. You're just putting a watch on it. You're just putting a guard on it. Do something about it. If you've been fighting with God, you haven't been serving at the church, you haven't been reading family devotions, you haven't been teaching like you should, do something about it. Don't worry what someone else might think or what someone else might say. Don't cover it up and put a watch on it. Do something about it. If you're lost and you think, you know what, maybe there is something to that, Brother Mike. Maybe I do need to get it right with God. Maybe I do need to get saved. Come down front and do it. Pray. Ask God to forgive you. Come into your heart and cleanse it. Jesus paid the price. These guys realized it. They realized it pretty quick right here. They had to, or they would not be worried there in verse 64 about the second error is going to be worse than the first. The second error is going to be worse than the first. How would you like to be standing in the white throne judgment that we shared about a while ago in Revelation someday? And your next door neighbor says, "The second time's worse. You didn't tell me that I made a mistake. You didn't tell me." When the books are opened and they're going down the list and they're reading your name and my name and his name and her name, and then the guy beside you's name's not in there. He's not going to heaven. He's going to stand there with a look on his face like, "Well, we're all standing before God in the throne, the judgment." "That's right, brother, we are. But your name's also got to be in the book of life, and you're not in there." The second error is worse than the first. That first mistake was realizing that you're unrighteous in God's eyes and a sinner. And if you don't get it right, if you don't ask for forgiveness, trust me, that second error, it's going to be worse than the first. That second mistake is not going to be pretty. We just shared that there in Revelations. But you know, there's a good part to that. if we look at Scripture, 1 John 1:9 is a good one there. It tells us many times in 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to what? To cleanse us. He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Cleanse us of all sin in our life. You know, the biggest thing I think we make many times in mistakes is when we look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, okay, you realize that. You realize that you got some sin in your life. If we confess our sins, He is what? He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's your response. There's your response. If you're like those Pharisees, you realize you made a mistake, come to God and ask Him. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to Him and ask Him. If you're in here today as a Christian, you've not been living right, you've been fighting with God, you've been making walk, come down front, do what 1 John 1:9 says, and confess it. And give it up. Confess it and clean it up. You know, the lifestyle we live today, I don't think anybody really wants to pay a price. Do you know very many people want to give up something and pay a price? This old dog-eat-dog world, man, is like feast or famine sometimes. Nobody wants to pay a price. Nobody wants to give anything up. They just don't. And Christians, we're some of the worst. We are some of the worst out there today that we don't want to cleanse it, clean it, and give it up and give it to the lost out there. We want to come in, many churches have our two and no more, three and no more, never do nothing else. We don't want to clean it up. We don't want to respond proper. We don't. Then I preach it to myself, same as you. We don't want to do that. But 1 John 1:9 tells us to confess. Confess and give it up. So let me tell you, if you're erring and you're fighting and you're making mistakes, you're fighting with God. Everything you're doing every day, there's a reason. There's a consequence. The reason is you're fighting with God. Your pastor will tell you that. It happens to him. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. We fight with God every day. So we've got to realize, you've got to realize, like those Pharisees, you've made a mistake. Secondly, you've got to respond proper. Don't put a watch on it. Don't put a watch on it and a watch on the guard. So if you want to err and fight with God, that's your choice. That's your choice. You can continue on, but I'm here to tell you it's not pretty. So let's look at the third thing here, Matthew chapter 2, or Matthew 28, verses 2 through 10. You're right there close. I'll keep you close. We looked at 27 about the resurrection. We looked at the realization that they made a mistake. The second error is worse than the first. We looked at the response. They tried to cover it up and hide it and put the guard on it. But let's look at receiving. You're going to receive the outcome of your errors. I can't change that. I can't change what I did years ago as a young teenager. I can't change the way I am now. I've got to receive the outcome. The Scripture just told me I'm going to be judged someday. You're sitting in here right now and you're going to receive the same thing. You're going to receive someday the outcome of your actions right now. Today, yesterday, the day before, and tomorrow, you're going to receive the outcome of those actions. You are. The Scripture just said you're going to stand before the judgment. If we look at Matthew 28, or 28 verses 2 through 10, verses 2 through 10 tells us about the resurrection. It tells us about the resurrection. This was the proof in the pudding. 28 verse 2, And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door that sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Whoa! Verse 4, that's the guards. That was the Roman guards that was so big and bad and tough and going to guard this tomb and make sure that he didn't get out and that he was real and he was risen. It says they were dead men. Well, I don't know about you, but a dead man's like this. I mean, do you ever go to a funeral home? His eyes ain't even open. So this was the way the guards was. This was the guys that was guarding the tomb. When the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ resurrection and risen, they were as dead men. They were as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here. He is not here, for he's risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, have I told you. He was risen. He rose. I'm sorry, take it up with God, but He rose. You don't like it, He rose. You're a sinner, you don't like it, take it up with God, He rose. You don't like it because you're not saved, take it up with God, He rose. This weekend come Easter, He rose. Hello?
Amen.
Did he rise? Do you live on that? Do you survive on that? Is that what you put your faith in? Is that what you put your lock, stock, and barrel of faith in, that I'm going to heaven? Is it Jesus Christ rose?
Amen.
Evidently you do. That's Scripture, brother. So if you did that, praise God, He rose. It's easy to take a man, put him on a cross physically, stick him and kill him and make him die, but praise God, you can't bring him to life. Praise God, you can't bring him from the dead. You can't do no magician trick to make him rise. And the Scripture says right there, He rose. He rose, and the guys that were there guarding the tomb, these are the guys that were supposed to lie. These are the guys that were supposed to guard the watch. They were as dead men. They were froze. Because I would be too, brother. I don't know about you, but if I'm a Roman guard, man, and I've got all my Roman garb on, and I'm the biggest powerful nation in the world, and I'm sitting there all kicked back like guard duty tonight, and all of a sudden the earth quakes, the thunder rolls, the tomb comes open, the grave is empty, and I'm sitting there thinking, what happened? What happened? Because for a Roman guard, that was bad. For a Roman guard, at that point, the Roman guard was going to die. A prisoner in his eyes that was handed to him and given responsibility. If he gets loose, it's your head. You're dead. And they knew right then they was in trouble. They knew right then they was in trouble. Here's what I love about it. In 28 verses 11 through 15, this is where it really gets good. This is where it really gets good. We know we got to realize, and we know we got to respond properly. But you're going to receive. You're going to receive the outcome. And these guys, the Pharisees, they still didn't get it. Well, I think they got it. But I don't think they could just quite break themselves to give in and realize. Because if we look at 28 verses 11 through 15. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Well, who's the watch? That would have been the guards at the tomb. These guys have done took off. They done left the tomb. There ain't nothing here for us to stick around for. We're out of here. We're dead. We're in trouble. Boss finds out about this. The sergeant finds out about this. We're in trouble. And showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. They run to town, told the guys that told them to watch. What happened? Hey, guys, we watched the tomb, but he's gone. We were there, but he's gone. I don't know what happened, but he's gone. There was an earthquake. There was rumble. There was trouble, but he's gone. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, the same people that wanted to guard the tomb, because maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we need to put a guy watch on there. It says, they gave large money under the... They tried to bribe the soldiers. They tried to bribe them now. Verse 15, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And what did they do? So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. True story. They took the money. They took the money. They knew, hey, what the heck? We're dead guys anyway. We've lost a prisoner. Give us the money. We'll take it. Run to town. Tell them, yep, his guys came. Took his body. He's gone. Oh, and by the way, if your boss finds out, we'll persuade him, the Pharisees said. They just couldn't accept the outcome. Friends, there's the problem. You're going to receive an outcome. If you're fighting with God right now, the end result's going to be the outcome. You may realize it. You may not quite respond like you should. But I guarantee you, you can't change the outcome. The only thing you can do is stop fighting with God in your salvation, in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. And realize one thing. There is going to be an outcome. You know, the sweet thing about it is Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is Jesus speaking. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Friend, let me tell you, you may realize it now and you may change. You may quit fighting God. You may come get saved and understand that is what you're going to receive. That is the blessing. That is the hope. God is going to be with you always through His Son, Jesus. You're going to have that Holy Spirit. That's the outcome. But you've got to realize it first. And you've got to make the right response. Don't try to continue to be like these guys and take a little cash and make a lie and cover it up. Just not face it and face the fact. It's not worth it. You know, God's going to dwell with us. He's always going to dwell with us. If we were to look at Revelation 21:3-7, we were right over there a while ago. We was in 20 and some of the things that happened in our lives. But Revelation 21, 3 through 7. This is the reason that we should all get excited. This is the reason that, as Christians, you should all be excited about this week. This is the reason why you should be excited about the day you've got to stand before that white throne judgment and face God. This is what you got. This is your outcome. This is what you're going to receive, people. This is what you're going to receive. Revelation 21, in verses 3 through 7. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There ain't going to be no more pain and suffering. She won't have to pain and suffer through that accident and that car wreck. From their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There ain't going to be any more death. No sadness and sorrow. It's going to be over. You're going to be in heaven. And neither shall sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. It's true and faithful, friend. It's going to happen. Verse 6, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, speaking of our Lord. The beginning and the end I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It's a free choice today. It's a free choice today. All you got to do is realize. All you got to do is respond proper. And all you got to do is come down and receive. Verse 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what you're going to receive. Now, you're still going to stand before God in that white throne judgment. There's still going to be things to come. And if I was to take you to Revelation 6 and verses 12 through 17, then I could give you the pretty picture that's going to be here on earth. If you're still around and you're not in heaven, it's going to be hell to pay. What I just shared with you about no pain, no suffering, no crying, no sorrow, no death, that's going to be here, brother. If you're not in heaven, you're going to be here with that. You got a choice. You can realize today that you're fighting with God. You can do something about it. You can get it straight. And then you can receive the outcome and the consequences. You know, if we was to look at several others in the Scriptures there, and I'll close with this, But Enoch and Elijah, two men. If you look in your Scriptures, two men, the Scripture said, were taken. They were walking, they were alive, they were living, they were breathing just like me and you. And God took them and they were out of here. Why? They were living a faithful life. They done as it's time to serve God and quit fighting with Him. They No. Do you know when the Lord's going to return? No. Do you know when this earth's going to end? No. Do you know if the Bible's true? No. But the second error is going to be worse than the first. Trust me. It's going to be worse. You've got to respond proper. Christian, you're not going to know when that rapture's going to happen, right? You don't know in the blink of an eye when the rapture happens and we're out of here. Are you ready? Are you fighting with God? Are you making some big mistakes and errors right now and you're pushing Him, and you're fighting with Him? If you all realize that, respond proper. I come down front and receive forgiveness. Do it right. Lost person, I want to ask you. I want to ask you for sure. Do you know that you know? Do you realize in your own heart that you're a sinner? That you've never asked God to forgive you and cleanse your heart of any unrighteousness? That in God's eyes, God's not going to allow you into heaven. Why should He allow you into heaven? You're sinful. Why? But if you accept His Son Jesus and what He did this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter, and ask God to forgive you, cleanse my heart, I believe He rose from the tomb, I believe He's crucified for me, there's nothing I can do. God, just forgive me, a dirty, rotten sinner. It says you'll be saved. There's no room for error there. The second time is going to be worse than the first. I'm going to ask Brother Andrew.